Okay, I want to welcome everybody to the Beis Medrash of Yeshivat Har Etzion. Many of you have been here before, years ago. Some of you visited it over the past year, but this is your first time here as Talmidim of the Yeshiva. And it's an incredibly, incredibly exciting time for us, and I am sure and I hope that it's an exciting time for you. I am fully aware that you just got off a transatlantic flight, that many of you have not slept, that you're tired, that we're still working on the AC, that's for Rosh Chodesh Elul. And yet, I think as hard as it is for you to still be focused and concentrating, first of all, incredibly proud of the Kol Torah that has been going on the last half an hour, and secondly, we felt as the yeshiva, the madrichim, the administration, it's very, very important that the first thing we do, aside from giving you your rooms and making sure you have your bags and eating so you don't completely faint, but it's very important that the first day you're here, even though it's before the Zman, most yeshivas, the guys aren't even in Israel yet, they're flying today, but we have you here early, even pre-Rosh Chodesh, and the first thing we do is engage in high-level Talmud Torah. It's an important statement for you, it's an important statement about the values of the yeshiva, and therefore, as such, I thought if I was asked to give a shiur to welcome you guys as part of this orientation, that a shiur on the topic of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam certainly is an appropriate topic. So there's much, much to say about the topic beyond the scope of the few makoros that we prepared for this afternoon shiur, but just to briefly sketch out some of the themes and some of the issues that emerge from these sources, and perhaps give us an insight not only into the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but also hopefully some good direction and focus for the incredible and special year that we're about to embark upon. The famous Mishnah in Masechta Peah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, lists a number of very important and high-profile mitzvos and discusses whether it's Peah or Bikurim, Rayon, visiting the Beis HaMikdash, Tumas Chasadim, all sorts of special mitzvos which are Ochel, Peroseim, Olam Hazeh, the Karen Kayemeth Olam Haba. These are the type of mitzvahs which you can double up on. There's benefit in this world, and there'll be benefit in Olam Haba. And yet, even in this rarefied air of these special mitzvahs, which are both Ochel Peraseim in this world and Karen Kayemeth Olam Haba, even in that special group, Talmud Torah says the Mishnah very famously is even more special than that. After all, as the Mishnah tells us, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Now, what exactly does that mean? We have a sense, even before we can translate, let alone conceptualize what the Mishnah is telling us. You just get a sense right away that it's telling us something special and impressive about Talmud Torah. But it's really striking that the Yerushalmi, here in the second source, commenting on the Mishnah, points out that it's pretty much anything you can imagine, Talmud Torah is greater than. And basically, the Yerushalmi pretty much divides up everything into two. Says the Yerushalmi, afilu, according to the first opinion, afilu kol olam kula eno shavar ledavar echad shel Torah. Which I would understand as pretty much anything in gashmius, any material benefit or pleasure, which the world is filled with many, l'ashem l'aretzim loa, and many of them are mutter, and they're there for our benefit and our pleasure. This is not a negation of this world. It's saying, despite how incredible the whole world is, there is nothing in the whole world that is even more important or better than even one daf Gemara, one Rashi and Chumash, one Mishnah, one Pasuk Tehillim, one Perek Tanakh. Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam even more than anything in the world. What's the alternative to that understanding? That's the second opinion of the Gemara. We're not comparing something in spiritual, like Torah, to everything that's physical, but in a certain sense, it's even bigger chiddush, says the second opinion in the Gemara. Afilu kol mitzvasa shel Torah, einon shavos ledavar echad min haTorah. Even if you want to say, okay, I'm in the zone, I'm in yeshiva, I'm in the spiritual zone, I'm just living in a world of mitzvos, and there's tons of binam lamakom, tons of binam lachavero, there's so many mitzvos. According to the second opinion of the Gemara, that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Even stacked up against all the mitzvos in the world, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Talmud Torah is more important than any of them, or perhaps even than all of them combined. So between the two opinions of the Gemara, our initial impression is not only confirmed, but underscored. The Mishnah is telling us something of dramatic importance, but without getting to all various nuances and subtleties, sometimes the simple understanding and the first impression, our gut instinct, is the correct one. Talmud Torah, says the Mishnah, is the most important thing a person can do. Idich Perusha of Zil Gemor. There's more to say, but everything else will be a detail. This is clearly the headline that the Mishnah wants us to take away. I underscore that, and I want to make sure we understand that, because it's only when we fully appreciate how all-encompassing and dramatic the Mishnah statement is, can we then fully appreciate how surprising the Gemara in Moed Katan is. Because with the background that Talmud Torah is the most important thing, the most important mitzvah, we are then told in the Gemara in Moed Katan, there's something about Talmud Torah which makes it seem not only not better than any other mitzvah, but in a certain sense, weaker, or more pliable, or more easily dislodged from its place of importance, let alone of superiority. And I'm alluding to the Gemara's discussion here in source number 3, where the Gemara discusses the psukim in Mishlei. The Gemara suggests that maybe there's a contradiction between the pasuk in Paragimel of Mishlei, which we're familiar with even more than the other pasuk, Yekar him ipninim v'chol chavatzecha lo yishvu ba, which sounds like Talmud Torah is so important that it's more important than anything of your personal possession. Chafatzecha, your personal possessions, nothing is more important than Torah. B'cheftei shamayim, other mitzvos, who said that they're not as important as Talmud Torah? As Rashi says, maybe for other things, shetibato kol chafatzecha b'shvil tesasot b'Torah. Yes, enechanami, if you have, you have a family and it's a Sunday afternoon in the winter and you really need to rake the leaves and fix the plumbing in the basement, that's chafatzecha, they're important. But says Rashi, no, Talmud Torah is more important, even more than chafatzecha. But, the pasuk continues, it sounds like cheftei shamayim may be more important, as Rashi says. Im l'chalasok b'mitzvah, tibatzel Talmud Torah, vasok b'mitzvah. That pasuk implies, though, that if I have an opportunity not to rake the leaves or fix the plumbing in the basement, but to, I don't know, maybe work at a soup kitchen, do tzedakah, help out with Tomchei Shabbos or something like that, that would come before Talmud Torah. That's the impression we get. And yet the Gemara says the second pasuk in Mishlei later on in the eighth parak seems to say that no, not only chafatzecha, but kol chafatzim, anything in the world, even other mitzvos, are secondary to Talmud Torah. And the Gemara's resolution, of course, of this conflict is, very famously, the last line of source number 3, kam b'mitzvah she'efshar la'asosa ayidei echerim, kam b'mitzvah she'efshar la'asosa ayidei echerim. Says the Gemara, you're right, sometimes, rarely, but it does happen, rarely, there could be a mitzvah that only you can do. Either you're uniquely qualified, or there's just no one else around, only you can do. In that case, close the Gemara and do the mitzvah. But in the large majority of cases where you can do the mitzvah now, you can do the mitzvah later, you can do the mitzvah, someone else can do the mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah. So says the Gemara, in those cases, keep the Gemara open. Keep the Tanakh open. We stay learning Torah. And we let the mitzvah go for another time or for another person. So what does this Gemara tell us? What's the salient point that comes out of this Gemara? That even though, I didn't put the Gemara on the sheet, I figured you had plenty enough to look at, but even though we know well-known concept in halacha, Gemara, sukkah, places, osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, usually we say if you're involved in one mitzvah already, for the most part, that could exempt you from a second mitzvah, but apparently, says the Gemara Moed Katan, that's not true when it comes to Talmud Torah. Of all of the mitzvahs, if you're osik b'Talmud Torah, then we say you're not potter from the mitzvah, which is a way of saying you should close the Gemara and do the mitzvah. So that halacha in and of itself may be somewhat surprising, but it's particularly shocking when we contrast that with what we just saw. If Talmud Torah is keneged kulam, if Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah, wouldn't we expect it should be the one that would be the hardest to dislodge? It should be the last one that is nidcha for other things. And yet, the Gemara Moed Katan is saying, no, on the contrary, all other mitzvahs Whatever you're doing first remains in priority. But if it's Talmud Torah, you're learning, Tzavka, of all things, that's the one we say, where Docha, the first mitzvah, Osek v'Talmud Torah, is Chayav, in most cases, in another mitzvah. Hear the question? Seems to be somewhat strange. This impression that we get, that we're kind of building a certain tension, is unavoidable, completely unavoidable, in your face, problematic, when you read the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Because the Rambam, there in Halacha Gimel and Dalid, combines the two Gemaras. The Rambam starts off, he's getting to, so the bottom line, the Lamaisa that the Rambam wants to tell us is, the Gemara Moed Katan. The Rambam's going to paskin, Osek v'Talmud Torah, is Chayav v'Mitzvah. Close the Gemara, do the Mitzvah. He's going to get to that. But the Rambam doesn't just say that. That'd be hard enough if he just said that. We still wonder why. But that's not what the Rambam did. The Rambam decides to introduce that Tzach previously in the beginning of Halacha Gimel. He doesn't say the words, I am quoting Maseches Peah. But we know that's what he's doing. And Halacha Gimel, the Rambam starts off with, Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol mitzvah skulon. Shishkula keneged Talmud Torah. El Talmud Torah keneged kol ha-mitzvah skulon. So the Rambam, it's not like we needed to be such big lamdanim that we can put together Peah and Moed Katan. The Rambam did it for us, but the Rambam seems to be so completely unaware, or at least not commenting on, the fact, obviously he was aware, but still oblivious in his presentation to the fact that the very first thing he says on Halacha Gimel, the Talmud Torah is amazing, it's the most important mitzvah. And then in the very next breath, and by the way, you should know, but of course, you know, you'll close the Gemara every time you have every time there's another mitzvah that no one else can do and you have to do now. Like, they just don't go together. I don't know if it's a direct contradiction, but it's certainly a sarachian, you know, darsheni. Like, there has to be a shot. What is going on? Why should these two things be? Everyone hear the question? Anyone question on that? Now, since you're only half exhausted, I'll just mention that there is a second Rambam, which I put on the sheet, which is actually more famous, or better said, more infamous. And more controversial. I'm not enough of an expert to tell you the 10 most difficult Rambams. There may be other Rambam here who can, Baruch Hashem. But one of the more difficult Rambams you'll ever see is the next Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, which everyone talks about, all the Achronim discuss. Very, very difficult Rambam. Where the Rambam tells us that when it comes to the issue of getting married, now is not the time to discuss whether you guys should be dating now, despite what Chazal say. But the Rambam, everyone here 17 already? So the Rambam says, you're being mevatel mitzvah by not getting married. Right? Some other opinions might want to say 18. The Rambam quotes here 17. But nevertheless, says the Rambam, it's okay. Last year, maybe you'd be in trouble. And if you'll be in college next year, again, you'll be in trouble, said the Rambam. But this year, you're learning Torah, says the Rambam, it's okay. Because if a person wants to study Torah, and they're worried that getting married and having children will get in the way, newsflash, it does. Life is complicated. But if you're worried about that, if you want to say, I'm not ready to get married yet, I want to learn more, I want to grow more, says the Rambam, no problem. Source number 5, middle of the second line. Im haya osek b'torah v'tarba. Right? It's important not just to be osek in your learning. You should be tarred in your learning. That's just not like, you know, it's not just like a convenient hobby. When you have a convenient hobby called learning, you're not tarred ba. Tarred means you're in the learning. This is who you are. You eat, sleep, dream, and live learning Torah. You're tarred ba, says the Rambam. You're not only osek in learning, you're tarred ba. It's on your mind, 24/7. You're worried if I get married. P.S. Apparently, you see from here, Araya, when you get married, you are supposed to support your wife. You are supposed to support a family. That is a responsibility of a husband. Says the Rambam, but you're worried. How am I going to do that and learn? Says the Rambam, and a Hanami. In that case, if you're worried about that, Hare zeh mutar lihis acher. You can delay getting married, so you're not mevatel Torah. Why, says the Rambam? Shaosek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Stop! I don't care how many hours your flight was. I don't care how exhausted you are. You all see this is an unbelievably shocking statement of the Rambam. We know from the Gemara Moed Katan, we know from the Rambam himself in the previous Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, that we do not say Osek when it comes to Talmud Torah. We do not say Osek bit. Talmud Torah is potter from the other mitzvah. Talmud Torah is the one exception that we don't say it. And yet here the Rambam, as if he's just strolling along for a regular, you know, mid-afternoon walk, look, everything's fine and normal, says Rambam, yeah, of course, you should know. If you're worried about the Talmud Torah getting in the way and being interrupted by the mitzvah Purivu and being a good husband and father, it's okay, no problem. Oslik B'Talmud Torah is potter. That alone is worth the price of admission. What is the Rambam talking about? And yet, the Rambam, once he has us, he figures he'll jump in with 2 feet. The Rambam is not leaving it at that. The Rambam, if that's not shocking and more problematic enough, the Rambam does the unthinkable, and he continues. And the Rambam says, not only do we say, Oslik B'Mitzvah potter min mitzvah, Kol Shekein Talmud Torah. Right? It's like we're living in a parallel universe. Not only is it true, says the Rambam, it's obviously true. It's more obviously true that Osek Mitzvah is Potem and a Mitzvah by learning than anything else. It's Kol Shekein by Talmud Torah. Yet we know this deep, dark, haunting secret. It's not true at all. Not only is it not Kol Shekein, it's not at all. It's not true. So this is an incredibly difficult Rambam, which many, many, many Achronim discuss. If we have the time, and you guys are still fully with me, I doubt, but if, then maybe at the end of this year we'll come back to try and answer this second Rambam. But let's, for the purpose of simplicity and productivity, let's just focus on the first Rambam. The Gemara and the Rambam tell us that we do not say Osek v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, that when you're involved in one mitzvah, that exempts you from a later second one, when the first one is Talmud Torah. The question is, why not? And not only why not, how do you square that with the other statements in Chazal, notably the Mishnah and Peah, that Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam? With that introduction in mind, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, I would have thought that we certainly would say, Osek v'Talmud Torah, putter from all other mitzvahs, because Talmud Torah is the most important thing. I should never have an excuse to close the Gemara if Talmud Torah is so important. And yet, the Gemara says, as the Rambam Paskins, that we do. Right. So I want to share with you two approaches. They're similar in a sense, but really fundamentally, I think, very different. And each one, I think, will be enlightening. But we'll spend most of our time on the second one, but let me just briefly mention the first. The first approach I want to mention to you is the idea in source number 6 from Rav Elchanan Wasserman. The great Rosh Yeshiva of Baranovich, who died al Kiddush Hashem, he was shot by the Nazis, killed, as legend goes, I believe, leading the people who himself and the people with him in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, dying with the bracha of al Kiddush Hashem on his lips. At the beginning of Kovet Shurim, his son, I think it was his son, Rav Simcha, records the story of his death at the hand of the Nazis. Chana Wasserman, one of the great, great Lamdonim of the first part of the 20th century. So in Chelik Beis of his Kovet Shurim, Rabbi Chanan says as follows. We won't read it inside, but I'll paraphrase. And says Rabbi Chanan, you see from the Gemara Moed Katan, we do not say that Talmud Torah is any mitzvah is nidche because of Talmud Torah. I'm learning, therefore I don't have to do mitzvahs. We see that from the Gemara. We don't say that. We don't say Osek B'Talmud Torah is potter for the mitzvah. And yet, what do you make of it? After all, isn't Talmud Torah so important? So says Rabbi Chanan, you're right. Talmud Torah is so important that if you could come up with a scenario where you're not only learning, but you're chayiv to be learning, the mitzvah is operative, then no mitzvah could get in its way. It's a steamroller, it is a train, without any brakes, you cannot stop it, it's just picking up speed. Elamai, says Rabbi Chanan, there are times when you are allowed or even must do other things, because in those scenarios, in a sense that you're bypassing, you're not confronting, you're not pushing off Talmud Torah, but rather in those situations, there is no chiyuv of Talmud Torah. If there be a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, imagine, it's like counter pressure, right? You have this, it's like an arm wrestle. So says Rabbi Chanan, you're right. Talmud Torah is the baddest, meanest guy on the block. I mean, these muscles, Popeye, nothing's defeating Talmud Torah. But, you know, you can go around. Right? You could just avoid the problem completely. So says Rabbi Chanan, that's the pshat. After all, said Rabbi Chanan, are you allowed to sleep? What happened to Talmud Torah? Are you allowed to eat? What happened to Talmud Torah? And adds Rabbi Chanan very, very critically, he includes in the third line, Derech Eretz, working for a living. Don't you have to do that, said Rabbi Chanan? What happened to Talmud Torah? So the answer, says Rabbi Chanan, all these things is when there are necessary, valued parts of life, then there is no chiyuv of Talmud Torah. If there would be a chiyuv, it's an uncontrollable, unstoppable force. But there are other things in life that are also important. The Torah recognizes they're important. And therefore, in those cases, they circumvent the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So just like I have to work, and I have to eat, and I have to sleep, and in those cases I'm not chayav to learn, says Rabbi Chanan, so too he says, as he finishes the piece, when it comes to other mitzvot, if I have to daven, I have to shake the lulav, I have to go into the sukkah, all these other things, we're not saying close the Gemara because these things are doche Talmud Torah. They beat Talmud Torah. They push off Talmud Torah. Nothing can do that. But when these things are presented, when these things are operative, when this is the right time for those things, then there simply is no chiyuv of Talmud Torah in that case. He doesn't quote it, I don't believe, but just as I'm sharing this view, if memory serves, if anyone was interested further, on this Mishnah in Peah, the Vilna Gaon, in the commentary Shnos Eliyahu, I believe, if I remember correctly, I believe he says the same thing. Rav Shechter from YU likes to quote the Vilna Gaon, if I'm not mistaken, I believe on this Mishnah, Mamish, I think, if I'm not mistaken, really the same idea, that there are certain things, including the Vilna Gaon also talks about Derech Eretz, about working for a living, and eating and sleeping and other things, that when you do those things, then you're simply potter from Talmud Torah. When I heard Rav Shechter quoted this, this is a year or two ahead for you, maybe or three, but when the time comes, since anyway we mentioned getting married, so Rav Shechter, I heard him quote this, he quoted Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who said, and not only the things that the Gra mentioned, but also being a good husband, spending time with your wife, being a good father, spending time with your children, when those things are present, you're simply not chayiv in Talmud Torah, you have to do those things. So that is very much similar to what Rav Chanan Wasserman here says in source number 6 in the Kovet Shurim, and therefore that's how he gets out of the problem. Yes, it's true, Talmud Torah can get kulam. If it's a one-on-one bat, right, you don't want to be in a dark alley one-on-one late at night with Talmud Torah. You're not coming out ahead. Talmud Torah can beat anybody. But if you're smart, you don't go into the dark alley. You walk around. You take the long way around. Says Rabbi Chanan, when you do other things, there simply is no chiv of Talmud Torah at that point. And therefore, memela, we avoid the problem. Now that itself does not answer the second Rambam at Ishus. We're not getting to that at all at the moment. But that's how he explains the first Rambam. However, I want to share with you, this is what we'll focus on to conclude this year, a second approach. And the second approach is a piece which is a combination of something which is published both in a very famous shir of Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. He originally published it in a sefer, which I have here, called Kavod HaRav. The article has since been republished in Minchas Aviv, which is a collection of Rav Lichtenstein's, some of his Lumdish articles. But this is a sefer called Kavod HaRav, when Rav Soloveitchik turned 80. So the yeshiva sponsored a sefer in his honor, and many of not only the Rebbeim in the YU-affiliated world, but a number of other Rashi yeshivas as well, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Ruderman, Rav Gifter, also wrote in honor of the Rav's 80th birthday. And in this book, Rav Lichtenstein has a long piece on the topic of Osek B'Talmud Torah. But amazingly, one basic point in his article, the basic kernel of his Chiddush, is in fact included a number of times by his previous Rebbe. Even before Rav Lichtenstein came to YU and became a Talmud and eventually a son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, he learned in, who knows the history, he lived in Chaim Berlin, and his Rebbe there, well, his first Rebbe there was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. But who was his Rebbe in between Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik? Rav Huttner. And Rav Huttner's pieces in Machshava, which are sometimes Lumdish as well, not only philosophical, all are called Pachad Yitzchak, a series, a multi-volume set called Pachad Yitzchak. And in the volume on Chag HaShavuos, and about four or five different pieces, there's a recurring theme that Rav Huttner mentions, which is in fact very much overlaps the theme of Rav Lichtenstein in this essay. And this will also give us a whole second approach, very beautiful and powerful approach, which I think is a very, very good way for us to learn here on our first day together in yeshiva. And hopefully it only, again, enlighten you on the sugya, but hopefully inspire you for the zaman to come. Let's start with a source that Rav Huttner himself made a big deal about. And that is the Gemara in Menachos and the Rashi. The Gemara in Menachos, Eli mentioned previously that this is Chof Tes Av, is according to Rashi, the anniversary when Moshe is told, write the second Luchos. So, when Hashem gives Moshe that command, he references not only are you going to write the second Luchos, but what are those Luchos going to be? They're going to be, instead of and mimicking of a replacement of, the first set of Luchos, Asher Shibarta, that you broke. So Rashi there already quotes the Gemara in Menachos, source number 7. Why does the Torah have to tell us Asher Shibarta? We didn't know what happened to the first Luchos. Moshe didn't know what happened to the first Luchos. He didn't know what we were talking. Of course he knew. So why is it Asher Shibarta? Says Chazal, a very fascinating line, that Hashem was saying, not only did you break it, Yashikoyach, that you broke it. Well done, Moshe. It's not just that you broke it, but you, if you have any doubt, says Hashem, I'm right behind you, have no doubt. I'm happy you did it. It was the right thing to do. You broke the Luchos. By you breaking the Luchos, you saved the Jewish people to live another day. There wouldn't be a second set of Luchos. There wouldn't be a new Jewish people, a continuation of the Jewish people, if you had not broken the first set of Luchos. That's the nice Gemara, which on the face of it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Except for Rashi surprises us. And Rashi tells us in source number 8, what does that mean? Again, the line of the Gemara was, Bitula shel Torah zehu yisoda, or sometimes it's quoted, Bitula zuhi kiyuma. That by nullifying, by breaking, you've actually enabled the growth, the building of the second stage. So says Rashi, instead of just commenting on Moshe and the Luchos, says Rashi, Pamim shebitula shel Torah zuhi yisoda. What does that mean? Kigon shemevatil Torah lahotzas hameis ulhachnasas kala. Rashi brings us back to our sugya. Rashi says, you know what another example of bitula zuhi yisoda, bitula zuhi kiyuma, breaking the Torah is really giving birth to future greater Torah? Another example is not only Moshe breaking the Luchos, it's every time you close the Gemara, because I guess there's no one else who can do the mitzvah, and you go and you're mesameach a chasan and kala. You go and help someone prepare for a burial, you go to a funeral where they needed people for the funeral. Hatzah sameis, hachnasas kala. So there you close the Gemara, that's a bitula, but you're allowed to do that. Zuhi kiyuma, zuhi yisoda, you're supposed to do it. Now as I was talking to some of the guys a little bit before this year, the comparison seems to be a little bit off. What are we talking? How does that relate to? I thought that that is the idea of osteik b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah, osteik b'talmud Torah, not pater. What does that got to do with yashikoyach sheshibarta? Right? A classic example of osteik b'mitzvah is Midoraisa, when they had Tcheles, for sure, when we knew for sure, you also were allowed to have Kilayim. Right? You could have Kilayim even on the wool and the linen, the string of the Tcheles could be allowed Kilayim. Because of Mitzvah's Aseh, Dochalos Aseh, just as a parallel. So we don't say Yashikoyach on the Kilayim because it enabled the... We say you're allowed to do the Kilayim. Yashikoyach. We're going much. When we say that Moshe broke the Luchos, we're not just saying he was allowed to. Somehow that was a good thing. It enhanced it. When I close the Gemara, it's that I'm allowed to close the Gemara to go to the wedding. I'm allowed to close the Gemara to go to the funeral. That's what it sounded like. Osek b'talmud Torah. So we say, you're not putter, so you got to close the Gemara. By Rashi equating these things, he's actually telling us something very different, it seems. It's not just that I'm allowed to close the Gemara. It's that by closing the Gemara and doing the other mitzvah, that itself is, to use Rav Huttner's term, a kiyum in the Talmud Torah. You are expanding the Talmud Torah. It shouldn't be limited just to the Daf Gemara. It shouldn't be limited just to the walls of the Beis Medrash. By you closing the Gemara and doing your learning al manas la'asos, that retroactively enriches and expands the definition of the Torah itself. An amazing, amazing idea, which is hinted at here in the Rashi, and Rav Huttner here in source number 9. Again, we won't read it inside, but that's basically the idea that he mentions. He says, if you are closing that Gemara, not stam, because you want to do the mitzvah. Or not stam because you just want to bottle and do something else fun. You're closing the Gemara because you know Osik b'talmud Torah is chayiv b'mitzvah. You know that that's what the Torah itself wants you to do. Says Rav Hutner, then when you do that other mitzvah, it's not just you get schar mitzvah for Hachmasas Kala, schar mitzvah for Levaya Sameh. You get schar Torah when you do that. You get a twofer. You get a mitzvah and you get a kiyum of Talmud Torah. That's Bitula Suhi Kiyuma from the Rashi. An amazing chiddush. On the second page, you have the Me'iri. This Me'iri was one of the points of departure for Lichtenstein. Because Rav Lichtenstein thought that the Me'iri got it wrong. The Me'iri in source number 10, commenting on that Gemara that we started with in Moed Katan, that said, Osik v'talmud Torah, sometimes you got to close the Gemara. We don't say potem in a mitzvah. So when we say that, says the Me'iri, like on the third line, Sha'osa, even though we usually say Osik v'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah, says the Me'iri, lo nemar kein b'talmud Torah. Fundamentally, the way Rav Lichtenstein understood this Me'iri, that fundamentally, the Me'iri is saying the halacha of Osik, the halacha that when you're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt from the second one, that fundamentally is not shayach to Talmud Torah. It's on a different wavelength. It doesn't relate. Said Rav Lichtenstein, echoing what we just saw from Rav Pachad Yitzchak, he thinks that that's not the pshat. Really, 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 in theory, hypothetically, Talmud Torah could be relevant to the halachos of Osek. Elamai. The only Talmud Torah, said Rav Lichtenstein, that is on the Madrega, that is the fullest sense of Talmud Torah, is a Talmud Torah, which is Almanas Lasos. So yeah, again, it's a little bit circular, but it's circular in a way that's actually truly, truly profound. Said Rav Lichtenstein, yes, in theory, hypothetically, Talmud Torah could be more important than the mitzvah. It's just that Talmud Torah, which turns a blind eye to Kiyum HaMitzvos, is an inferior, degraded Talmud Torah. It's not full Talmud Torah if you had opportunity to do a mitzvah and you ignored it. Again, it's somewhat tautological, but I think it's not in a too clever by half, but in a profoundly tautological way. By definition, says Rav Lichtenstein, Talmud Torah is meant to be lived. It enriches our life and makes us better people. We have to show that. A t'nai in our Talmud Torah is that it's almanas lasos. If you had an opportunity to do a mitzvah and you ignored it for learning, hypothetically Talmud Torah could be more important, could be osek and potter from the next mitzvah. It's just that by you doing it, you've degraded your Talmud Torah. So then mamela, it's not as important and it has to be pushed off. You can't get out of it. You're like in a straitjacket. You can't get out of it. Because by not doing the mitzvah, you're showing that you have a degraded Talmud Torah. And again, the way Rav Lichtenstein understood the Me'iri, he thought this was very different. The Me'iri was saying the whole halachas of Osek aren't relevant. Rav Lichtenstein thought something much sharper. He said, in theory they could be relevant, but they're practically never going to be, because you always have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, then you have to do it in order that retroactively it was true Talmud Torah. Namely, what you see from Rav Lichtenstein, basically he's echoing the same idea we saw from Rav Hutner, that Talmud Torah has a dimension of almanas lasos, so that these other things that we do are not only mitzvos, that's important too, but they're not only mitzvos, they're also fulfillment and being mashlim to make the highest level of our Talmud Torah itself. Now, I'm particularly excited about this. I hope you'll indulge me, a two-minute story of personal preference. About 15 years ago, it's probably more than that, but I'll round it off to 15. It was about 15 years ago. Rav Lichtenstein came to YU to visit the Kollel when I was in the Kollel. And I had an opportunity. I think I must have just seen this piece from Rav Hutner. And I had already seen many years earlier the piece from Rav Lichtenstein. And Rav Lichtenstein, I knew, was a Talmud of Rav Hutner's. He doesn't quote it anywhere. So I thought perhaps he's not aware of it. I mentioned, you know, that idea you have in the Sefer, you know, in honor of the Rav, Kavod HaRav. Rav Lichtenstein has it. It's actually in a few places in Pachad Yitzchak, but I mentioned him this particular piece that I just quoted for you guys. And he looked at me with such excitement. He said, really? And I, all of a sudden I had this thought that I was really nervous about. Is it possible that I just told Rav Lichtenstein about a Torah source he didn't already know? Something that I actually thought was literally an impossibility. So I had a suffix. This is my chakira, because I'm demented. Instead of just being happy with a good day's work, then maybe it's really true. Or maybe he's just such a baal chesed and a tzaddik, he's making me feel good by getting all excited that I told him something, but of course he really, really knew it. For a number of years, I wasn't sure what was the right shot. Until a few years ago, I found online, as you guys probably are all familiar with, the great VBM website. We have archived on the site some of the night seder sheets that the yeshiva used a number of years ago when Rabbi Krumbein Shlitas. If you haven't heard of him, you'll meet him soon. One of the great rebbeim here in the yeshiva. Rav Krumbein, when he was preparing makaros for the night seder, before Rav K, in the world before Rav K, when they were doing the sugya of Osek B'mitzvah, Rabbi Krumbein on the sheet says, I think he says, recently Rav Lichtenstein was giving shiur on Osek, and I can only imagine how many times Rav Krumbein has heard Rav Lichtenstein talk about such an important topic. And he said that there's a footnote on Rabbi Krumbein's sheet, and he says, I recently found out that my chiddush in the whole sugya of Osek B'Talmud Torah, my Rebbe Rav Hutner already says the basic yisod. The only thing missing was my name. Apparently, he really didn't know. And apparently, he listened, unlike most people who just let things go in one ear and out the other. And he apparently was excited that when he came back there to Eretz Yisrael into the yeshiva, he told the other rebbeim, he even shared it in his shiurim. So now I'm really not going to forget this piece. So apparently, Rav Lichtenstein on his own, without being aware that Rav Hutner had said it, was mechaven more or less to the same idea. And the thing which really got Rav Lichtenstein excited, if I remember that conversation from 15 years ago correctly, was when I told him about a particular proof that Rav Hutner had. And with this will be the last thing that we'll mention, and then we'll bring it to a close. If you go back, if you just look on the top of the page there in Rav Hutner, the end of source number 9, the top of the back page, you see he's being medayek in 3 words in the Rambam. Actually, 2 words of the Rambam, excuse me. He's commenting on the Rambam back in Hilchos Talmud Torah in source number 4, where the Rambam said that, as we know, as we've been talking about, Osek B'Talmud Torah, you're not putter. If it's a mitzvah that no one else can do, you have to close your gemara, you do the mitzvah, but then the Rambam adds these extra words. The Rambam says, Im lav, yasa ha-mitzvah, there's no one else to do the mitzvah, you do it, v'yachzer le-talmudah. After you do the mitzvah, you go back to the base medrash, you go back to the sefer, you go back to the gemara. So Rav Hutner there in that piece, he's wondering what Rambam telling this for. It's not a Musar Sefer. It's not a storybook. The Rambam teaching us a halacha that in certain cases we close the Gemara, we go do another mitzvah. What's it got to do with the fact that afterwards, instead of just checking Facebook or something, you're supposed to go back to learn? That's not the kind of the Rambam would typically tell us. Says Hezer Futner, no, that's a proof to the whole mahalach, to the whole yisod. Because what do we say? What's the whole chiddush that Rav Hutner said and Rav Lichtenstein echoed? That sometimes bitula hikiyuma, sometimes closing the Gemara, is itself enriching and a kiyum of the Talmud Torah. So instead of Hutner, not always. It depends on why you did it. Again, it might be a mitzvah to do no matter what. But it's again, where the chiddush is, it's not only is it a mitzvah that I went to the wedding, a mitzvah that I went to the funeral, but that wedding and funeral is it also a kiyum in Talmud Torah. It's bitula and kiyuma. It's a kiyum in Talmud Torah. So said Rav Hutner, when is that true? It depends not only on why you went. Did you do it as an expression of your Talmud Torah? Did you do it because you just wanted to take a break? Did you just do it because they're your good friends, you wanted to go to the wedding? Or did you do it because you understand Talmud Torah is supposed to be Amanas Lasos? Did you do it as an expression of your learning? Said Rav Hutner, how do we know the truth? What's going to be the litmus test? How are we going to know the truth? What do you do after the mitzvah? If after the mitzvah you're yachzer lelimudo, so that shows that the whole time you closed the Gemara was as a kiyum in your learning. Haraya, you went right back to your learning. So said Rav Hutner so beautifully. Then this is, if I remember correctly, it was this when I told him this. This is what made Rav Lichtenstein smile from ear to ear. He loved this raya. He says v'yachzer lelimudo. When you go back, that's the deal to the Rambam. That's why the Rambam stressed that. says, why is it that we say Osek B'Talmud Torah is not Pater? Because Talmud Torah is supposed to be lived, not just learned, but lived. Not only learn Torah, live Torah. And the proof, the condition, the t'nai that shows you were doing it for the right reason is the fact that afterwards you went back. By doing that retroactively, that shows that everything you were doing, when you were learning, when you closed the Gemara, and now you're reopening the Gemara, it's all one integrated, seamless life of Avodas Hashem, of expression of Talmud Torah, on its, not only learning on its highest level, but living that Torah. There's more to say, but you guys are too tired and the hour is too late, which is totally fine. If you're interested, you look at the last two sources, 11 and 12. It's another idea that Rav Hutner has in a different piece. Also the same theme, explaining a very well-known Tosfos in Masechta Brachos. But for now, we will leave it. I will also leave you, if anyone wants, I'm happy to tell you afterwards, but before people get too exhausted, I want to stop the shiur in a minute. I'm also going to leave for now, but just be aware, I know I'm leaving it as hanging. How do you go back to the Rambam and Ishus about Puravu? We did not get back to that, I'm aware. Anyone wants to talk to me about that or give me your own suggestions, I'll be happy to hear it. But just to summarize and conclude, what we saw here was a fascinating tension in the Makoros and Chazal. On the one hand, Talmud Torah is the most important thing, it's Keneged Kulam. On the other hand, it's the easiest to be Docha. It's the one thing where we don't say Osik B'X, Potter from Y. Those seem to be contradicting themselves. The Rambam contradicts himself. What's going on? We saw one approach by Rav Elchanan Wasserman, that there are things in life which are just important. And if eating, drinking, sleeping, and having a profession are important, other mitzvot are certainly important. In those cases, you're just not chayiv. You're not fulfilling Talmud Torah, but you're just not chayiv in Talmud Torah. Very interesting idea. But then we saw what I think was even more fascinating and more profound, was the idea initially expressed perhaps by Rav Hutner, and later expanded upon and developed by Rav Lichtenstein, that in fact it's deeper than that. So we don't say Osek B'Talmud Torah is putter from mitzvos, because Torah is meant to be almanas lasos. And if we are learning Torah at the highest level, that's not just a statement about how clever we are with the chakiras. Learning Torah on the highest level means that we're living the values that we're learning. It's almanas lasos. And to not be almanas lasos would be, in retrospect, a degrading of the Talmud Torah. And therefore, we have to, so to speak, close the Gemara, do the other mitzvos, because that's a t'nai, it's a way of fulfilling the Talmud Torah on the highest level to begin with. And that, as we suggested ultimately, is why the Rambam adds not only the psak, but the yachzer l'talmudo. Because by going back to the learning, it shows that you see it all as part of something completely integrated. I will just conclude with my final thought, which is, of all the possible things I could give shiur on today, why did I pick this sugya? So you'll say, well, it's an interesting sugya, and it relates to Talmud Torah, that's what we're here for. And the answer is, yes, check. Maybe you suspect that I gave up the whole sugya, so I could tell you the story about me and Rav Lichtenstein. Check. But none of those are the real reasons. The real and most important reason is because I want you to fully get this message. I did not have a chance to meet all of you over the past year. Not all of you visited Eretz Yisrael in 12th grade. I didn't go to every city. I didn't hit Boston. I didn't hit some of the other cities. I haven't met everybody. But certainly any one of you who had an opportunity to meet me or take a bechin with me, and I'm sure it was true for some under Rebbeim, but at least I can speak definitively for myself. Part of my spiel, for lack of a better word, you all heard it, anyone who met with me here or in their high school, was about why we learn. Why are you coming to Eretz Yisrael? Why do you want to come to Gush? And why do we learn? And I constantly stressed, because I thought it was important, and I believe it, that we're not just learning for learning's sake. We do that. We believe in Torah Lishma, of course. But part of what that means is we're learning because we believe that that is the best and most consistent and superior way to improve and enhance our Avodas Hashem. It's not just about learning, it's about learning making us better B'nai Torah, better Yarei Shemayim, better Ohavei Hashem, better Menshin, better Beram L'Chavero. Talmud Torah is not just an intellectual enterprise, even though of course it is that, of course. It's the highest level of intellectualism, the most celebrated, of course. But it's not just that. If you think that's all it is, it's a mistake. That spiel, which 75 to 80% of you sitting here have heard at one point or another, in one form or another, from me last year, that's exactly what Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Huttner are talking about. That's exactly the point. That's what it means, telling the Torah, al menas lasos. It doesn't just mean you learn like we did last year, Mesecha Shabbos, so you know how to make Israeli salad on Shabbos. That's important. But it doesn't just mean you learn sukkah, so you know how to build the sukkah. Almanas lasos, but that's important. Almanas lasos also means almanas to be a mensch. Almanas to have avas Hashem. Almanas to have yira shemayim. Talmud Torah, in order for it to be the fullest level, has to be almanas lasos. That's what you're here for, guys. Not only to hear unbelievable shurim from some of the best rebbeim in the world, not only to be in an incredible base medrash. In 2 days, you'll barely be able to find an empty seat in this place. The roar of the Talmud Torah in the morning seder will be awesome. It's not only that, it's that, and that's great. But it's that as a springboard, as an inspiration for you to improve your relationship with Hashem, your Shemayim, your Avodas Hashem, your Avas Hashem, your Diktuk B'mitzvos. That's all Talmud Torah Almanas Lasos. And as we see in this sugya, and as Rav Lichtenstein himself said so eloquently, I was giving the paraphrase in English, but you can read the original in the Hebrew in the Sefer. If you learn without that, if you learn without the Almanas Lasos, that's a degraded Talmud Torah. That's not the false expression of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is meant not only to be, the Torah is learned, the Torah is meant to be lived. And we are thrilled, me, the Rebbeim, all the Madrichim, we are thrilled that you're here for what will be an incredible, we hope, life-enhancing, perhaps even life-changing year. We're here for you in any way we can, and the way you and we will all be successful as a family. You're now here as Talmidim. You're here. You're part of the Gush family forever. Sorry. Nothing you can do. You're here. We're now family, and we're thrilled to have you as part of that family. And the way we as a family will be successful as a group, as a chabura, and as each of you individually, is if you understand the goal. It's a daunting goal. There are going to be highs, there are going to be lows, there are going to be days where the learning becomes easier, and there may be days where you're just exhausted, and the learning could be a little more difficult. If you don't believe me, talk to any of the Shana Bet guys. It's a long grind. But Emir Tz Hashem, you'll all get it, you'll all be successful. But the only way is to have your eye on the prize. You have to know what's the goal. And the goal is not only to improve your reading skills and improve your knowledge. It's all, of course, that's part of the goal. But it's all that so, you can come better B'nai Torah and better Ovdei Hashem. That's exactly what the message of the sugi is. And it is certainly my best wishes and bracha that you should all be successful, each of you on your own level, at your own speed, in that journey. And all the Rebbeim, all the Madrichim, the staff, everyone in the yeshiva is here for you. We have only one goal and only one responsibility. That is to help you maximize your potential and grow in the best way you can as B'nai Torah and Ovdei Hashem. We're thrilled to have you, and I wish you guys all tremendous, tremendous hatzlacha.